Everybody, and welcome to Shooting the Shit Show. This is Eric.
This is Connor.
And this is Brock.
Brock's new. We have
Brock today.
Yes.
Everyone say hello to Brock.
Aww.
Hi, Brock.
Hi, Brock. Hi, guys.
It's good to be here.
Brock is the current bass player for our band.
Yes.
Chariot, chariot.bandcamp.com. And
shameless plug.
He is also a very talented filmmaker. Tell them
about... Oh, why, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Tell them about some of the films you've made.
Oh, well, some of the films I've made. Well, I guess recently, with the help of these two gentlemen here, made my senior film at MSU. It's called Beast. It's sort of a horror drama, kind of.
Yeah, it's intense as fuck.
It's pretty intense. Yes. These guys helped me do the music and the sound design, which was dope.
Yes, yes, it was. It was very chilling.
Yeah, it turned out pretty good. Pretty good. I like it.
Yeah. And, yeah, that was my most recent thing. That was fun. That was my senior capstone film, so it was like, I was pretty proud of it. And thank you guys for helping me, make it a reality.
You're welcome, man. Thank you for bringing it to us.
Certainly.
So, you guys ready to shoot the shit?
Let's shoot the shit. What's up?
Yeah. I guess first I got a little bit of a Walmart story.
Okay.
Tell me a Walmart tale.
A little Walmart tale. I was
nestled in here real quick.
Get that mic nice and cozy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mic sounds. Oh, yeah.
Okay, we get the fire crackling.
We're okay.
I was at work the other day, and one of my fellow associates was helping a customer, and I was just passing by. I think I was, like, putting stuff away, and he comes up to me, and he's like, "Hey, you like jokes?" And I'm like, "Yeah, who doesn't like jokes?" He's like, "Well, you never know. Some people don't." I'm like, "All right, fair enough." And he's like, "What's the difference between a hard-on and a light-on?"
Oh, no.
I'm like,
what's the difference?
Most people can't sleep with a light on.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
And so I was like, that's a good one. And he kept telling me that a woman told him that joke.
Oh, so that makes it okay.
I don't know if it makes it okay or if it makes it funnier, I guess. I don't know what he... But...
I don't know, but my man can sleep through a boner, which is strange.
I can't sleep with a light on nor a hard on.
No,
so I don't
not.
Understand the joke.
No, I need both of those out of my life when I need to sleep.
It's true. And the funny thing is, I was putting stuff away like all over the apartment, and I could hear him telling other people this joke and them awkwardly laughing, and then him telling them that a woman told him that joke.
Oh, so that's like part of the joke.
I guess so. It's got
a woman told him the joke.
Wow, it's so not a funny one either.
No, that's like not funny just for regular not funny reasons, and also because it's disgusting.
Yeah, and creepy
just
old.
Just regular not funny reasons too.
Oh, God. Oh, man. So, what's been new with you guys?
Oh my God, I don't even know where to begin.
Gojira.
We're living in a post-Godzilla world. Yeah, this is the truth. Let's talk about Godzilla first.
Okay, cool. Well, I am interested to know what you guys
I hear we have differing about. Opinions.
That's what I've heard too.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Well, here's my opinion.
To a degree.
Here's what I want to say. Definitely. Okay, so I think that the film I don't think it was very good. And my problem with it, I think, was that the film seemed like it really wanted to be this, like, character piece. It really wanted to focus on the characters. That was, like, the sense that I got that it was going. It was like, okay, this movie is going to be not your typical monster movie. It's going to be more about characters and stuff and, like, how they react to this situation, which I thought was, like, okay, that's kind of a sweet, like, this isn't going to just be, like, mindless action the whole time. There's going to be some substance. But I felt like... Well, first off, you kill Walter White in the beginning. Are you kidding me? I'm already out. And no, but like seriously, like, I don't know. They built up, his character was so interesting to me, and his son's character was so not interesting to me.
I agree with that.
Tremendously
uninteresting. I mean, he was just a cardboard cutout of a character, and maybe that's what they were going for, and some people have said that to me, like they think, oh, they just wanted him to be like depicted as this mindless jarhead. So you could sort of just like, I guess, absorb yourself into him and just sort of, you know, observe everything from his perspective. But I just don't think that makes for like very interesting character. And so I thought it was just like, it was wanting to be this more character driven film, but then it didn't take it far enough. It didn't develop the characters far enough.
Okay.
And then that would be okay if there was, in my opinion, more action, more Godzilla. I either wanted one of the two things. I wanted the character driven film, or I wanted just straight up Godzilla just kicking ass. And I felt like I got too little Godzilla and too little character.
Fair enough. I have a response to that.
Okay.
But first, I have a question.
Okay.
What made you think that it was going to be like more of a character driven film? Was it like the trailer, or was it
way the film started out?
Like how, like his trauma?
Yeah, his trauma and his relationship with his dad, and how like, also, I mean, like his relationship with his wife was just kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I thought Elizabeth Olsen was kind of flat. Like,
I didn't fucking care about their kid.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't care. Like, give a shit about the kid. Here's, like, and that's the problem. Okay, what do you say?
Well, here's okay. my response to what.
Yeah,
I think that it definitely was trying to be a bit of a character driven film in the Walter White portion of the film.
Yeah,
I feel like maybe that was their strongest actor, and they're like, he's big right now. Maybe let's focus on him for the first part, but then maybe let's just go ahead and give him Godzilla in the second part. Because if you think about it, the film is full of like, up until like the point where Aaron Johnson is introduced as his son.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty interesting up until then. And then when he dies, it starts to just be all action. That's what it's all about. That monster comes up and the basic plot the real plot begins. So I think that maybe they were starting off trying to be more character driven, but then
realized that Aaron Johnson was going to be really fucking terrible.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know if that's it or what, but he completely bored me.
Yeah, he was not good.
Yeah, he was just boring. And I was like, well, I don't get it. Like, if this is the guy I'm supposed to sympathize with the whole time, like, I didn't care about his plight at all. I didn't care about. So it's like, why even introduce that stuff if you're not going to take it far enough? You know, like, if you're not going to give us more, I don't know, just like, it felt like it was bringing up all these ideas about, you know, like Bryan Cranston being his dad and just kind of crazy and out there, and the son being like ashamed of him almost, and like maybe coming to terms with like their relationship. Like, I don't know. Like, I thought there was something there in that relationship.
They just didn't go deep
enough. that could have been a lot more interesting than what happened after that, because it started to develop that, and then it just went into sort of mindless action from there, and didn't really ever touch back on those sorts of themes. What do you think about that?
I totally see what you're saying.
Yeah,
I don't think you're wrong. I think the only reason I enjoyed it way more than you did is because, like, I wasn't thinking about it really.
Well,
and I just, like, I know that when I saw the way that Godzilla killed those other two things.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Oh, dude.
I shat my pants, and that's all I needed.
That
really.
Movie was full of great moments, for sure. Like,
yeah. And go ahead. Sorry.
The one part, and if, I don't know, I guess we're not warning about spoilers.
You. No. But there's like six people listening to this anyway.
Yeah, spoil away.
But the part where they're in Las Vegas and they see that the monster's escaped. And the guy's looking through his binoculars, and it's like a binocular shot, and he's just panning, and it's like, nothing, 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 giant monster, nothing, wait, giant monster. It's like the greatest thing. I laughed so hard during that. Plus, I laughed like a ton during the Godzilla fucking Mothra. Are we calling it Mothra?
It's a Muto.
It's Muto. Okay, fair enough.
But, Muto. Okay. And to clarify my stance a little bit too, like, I don't mean to say either that I didn't enjoy parts of the film. Like, I walked out of the film honestly not knowing really how I felt. And I've sort of developed this opinion of it after the fact, like after a lot of thinking about it. But during the film, honestly, there were times where, like, and I think it still does like some action really, really well. I mean, that whole end stuff with Godzilla just...
Yeah, that whole... Oh, dude. All the action looked incredible.
Okay, when he started blowing the blue fire shit, that's when I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
But I was like, dude, why didn't that come like 40 minutes earlier? This is like, dude, because then the rest of this battle would have been just fucking incredible.
The battle is fucking weird in general because it's like these two things are about to fuck. Mm-hmm. And then Godzilla
like
comes
mounting.
In, the cockblock that he is, Godzilla comes in and starts fucking with him. And they're just like trying to fight him off so they can get busy.
Yeah.
And then Godzilla like passes out for a few. He has to take like a little nap.
Yeah, like a breather.
Then he comes back, kills one of them with his fucking tail, smashes it into a building.
That part
and
was
smiles.
Like, almost, that got
and
me
smiles.
Off, dude.
I got, I cheered in the theater. And then he falls asleep again. And then he gets up and kills the other one with his atomic breath. And then he falls asleep again. So, really, Godzilla just needs frequent naps when he's fighting.
Yeah, man.
He's fucking huge.
He's gigantic.
It takes a lot to move
so much
that
energy.
Big,
and he's, like, swimming for, like, the entire day.
Oh, man. And, yeah. Godzilla. Dude, that was a really badass depiction of Godzilla.
Yeah, no,
it's
way better.
Easily
than,
the best Godzilla movie.
Better than Godzilla 2000 for sure.
Oh my God. Except I do miss Matthew Broderick just a little bit. Just a little bit. Does anyone
know? I miss Matthew Broderick just being in my life.
Yeah.
Like,
come on.
He's very. He's like that actor that. Come back. Oh, God. No, yeah. Also, whenever Godzilla like comes up out of the water, I always get the feeling that he's just like, because the ships are always like following him, and when he comes up, he's like, "Oh shit, sorry guys," like ships falling off of his shoulders. Yeah, he's like, "I'm sorry."
He's
I'm
like,
very
"You're
big.
You're too damn close. You know how big I am." Jesus,
has
back
anyone
off.
Anyone ever told you about personal space?
Yeah, come on, man. I
you
know
you can't
I'm...
park a ship on somebody. It's just rude.
Oh god.
Yeah, but but yeah, I think it's also a testament to of sort of the direction that big blockbuster action films are going, and it's they're getting more refined, I think, and
yeah,
that's kind of exciting to see. I guess it's nice, especially when you've got bullshit like Transformers 4. I mean, Jesus Christ, that trailer alone. Every time, I can't even watch it anymore.
I think it's a Transformer.
I think it's a when you've got Marky Mark just being like, I think it's a Transformer. It's just like, why doesn't he just look right into the fucking lens at that point and just be like, buy this ticket. I know you're gonna. Just like, come on.
Come see my movie.
It's a good movie.
It's just like the most shameless.
How did you describe the commercial for it? The trailer?
The trailer?
Yeah, when we were watching it earlier. You said it looks like cancer.
Oh yeah, it looks like cancer. Did I say ball cancer?
Yeah,
I might have said that.
Say ball
I think
cancer.
I said, oh, that looks like ball cancer. That movie. Oh,
I think that's accurate. It looks terrible.
Oh, it does. It's just I will never understand that style of filmmaking, but
I don't know, but I'm probably gonna watch it just so I can shit on it on this podcast.
Yep, that's happening.
My microphone seems to be slipping. Are you noticing this at all?
Yeah, some of these mic stands aren't as strong.
It's getting lower and lower.
Tighten the.
Oh, sorry everybody, that was embarrassing.
Mic sounds.
Okay, perfect. There we go.
Oh, you might want to back up just in case you pop some peas. Just a tiny bit.
Okay.
You're okay.
Okay, you got it. You got it.
Let's talk about wrestling.
Let's talk about sex.
Baby.
Let's talk about you and me.
Last night. Last night was WWE Payback, which, for all intents and purposes, should not be like an important pay-per-view.
I didn't care at all that I was missing it for work.
No. And like, I was just like, yeah, whatever. Cool. It's $10 a month for me now. Awesome. But yeah, it had some fucking killer matches, dude. First of all, the Bray Wyatt, John Cena match.
Fucking
last man
crazy,
standing,
dude.
Was redonkulous. I can't even imagine
the
how.
The fucking steps, dude?
The steps, yeah.
Cena threw the steps at Bray Wyatt.
He picked
out of
know,
the ring.
Those big giant now? Steel steps that they have, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
He picked those up in the ring. Bray Wyatt was outside the ring and he threw them at him and it fucking busted his elbow.
Oh,
open.
Dude. And they say wrestling is fake.
No, dude. They fucking.
They're still getting hit with chairs and steel steps.
It's athletic opera, dude. It's like there's something kind of magical about
it. Sports with a story.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's like a really fucking violent ballet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I used to be so into wrestling, and I think I want to get back into it now.
Dude, you can come watch Raw with us every week.
Just watching that tonight was like adrenaline pumping. I was like, I forgot how fucking good this is, dude.
Yeah, man.
Some of those guys can like do those moves and pull off that shit without killing the other person.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's so easy to break your neck doing this. It's so easy to
just murder somebody else.
And like the stuff that they're doing looks like they are murdering other people. It's ridiculous.
I know. Mm-hmm. I was also noticing tonight though just how like sneaky. I would like to see it live because I was just noticing how like sneaky the camera work is. Mm-hmm. They totally like zoom in or like really fast on a hit, you know, or like pan down really fast. Yeah.
I started noticing that, and they never used to do that, but they've started really? Now that they've started using like HD cameras, they've started to like zoom in on like impact and zoom out really quick to create a certain effect, and it's
And they like cut away really strategically if there's like a kick that's really obviously gonna miss.
Yeah. So cut to another angle where it's blocked or whatever. Yeah,
there's a 10-second delay on live, so I mean they can control it to a certain degree, but they have to be really quick on their feet.
Dude, that would be a job.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
Editing live Raw?
Yeah. Because it's basically just like listening to the director. I would imagine just like listening to whoever's directing the show.
Yeah, you have to be like really
and then
switching
tight. Between
that'd be a nightmare.
Different angles. Like you've got to have eyes on every fucking angle that there is.
And the fucking WWE editors are really good. Like they put those like all the replays and shit together super quickly.
They do that and they like find the humor in it too.
Yeah, they're really good at finding humor and they can make packages like nobody's fucking business.
Yeah, they can make you care about it. When you know it's fake, they can make you care about
it.
But no, that match was goddamn ridiculous. And I mean, say what you will about John Cena, I'm not like the biggest fan of him now. I used to love him when I was a kid, but I was a kid.
Mm.
He can put on a fucking match still.
Yeah, dude, he can.
And he's getting Bray Wyatt over like nobody's business.
Yeah, right now. It's kids it's love him.
Man, the only name I recognize is John Cena. That's how far I am out of the game, guys.
It's okay.
Well, Bray Wyatt's fairly new, but
yeah. Okay, well.
He's really good. You should watch some Bray Wyatt promos, especially from the last couple weeks.
Yeah, he is a great talker.
Really?
He can really... Yeah, he's good in the ring, too. He's just exciting. But yeah, that match was great. Daniel Bryan, that whole situation, he didn't surrender the title, and his wife quit.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care about that story, but Brie slapped Stephanie, and it looked like it hurt really bad.
Yeah.
Like, it was super fucking real, man. Like, I think she just went for it and just slapped the shit out of her. And Stephanie's reaction was, like, priceless because she was just, like, fucking just in awe. And then she didn't say a word. She just, like, ran to the back.
Yeah.
It seemed, like, a little too real. So we'll see what'll develop of that. But the Shield. The Shield's match last night. I was going to talk about the Shield's match, but I think I have to talk about Raw.
Something bigger happened. Something bigger happened.
The match was fucking
incredible. The match
incredible.
Was really
okay.
good.
Now fill me in on the Shield really quick because I am not aware.
The Shield, okay, so they have another show now that airs on the U.S. It only airs on the internet, I think, like on the network and like Hulu and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the developmental territory.
Okay.
And the Shield are all like new guys. Like they started in 2012, late 2012, I believe.
Yeah.
So they're like a new stable. They're just like.
Didn't they debut at WrestleMania?
Survivor Series, I think, of 2012. I don't quote me on that, but I think it was Survivor Series.
To the internet.
You check on that. I'm going to continue telling about the Shield. The Shield. Okay. So they debuted then. So they're really new guys, but they're all fucking talented. They're all good on the. Well, most of them. Dean Ambrose is great. They've all like created characters at this point. But Dean Ambrose is great, and they all have their roles in the Shield.
Dean Ambrose is fucking hilarious.
He's hilarious.
Which one
he's
so is that?
He's basically...
He's the greaser.
Yeah, he's basically okay. just a giant greaser. He's the one that looks like he was in...
He's the one leaning over the rope in this picture.
Yeah, he looks like... Geez. He's the one that looks like he was in a 2003 emo band.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played bass for like Hawthorne Heights or something.
For just like a year. Just an album. Yeah. Just one album.
He was a touring bass player for Hawthorne Heights.
Oh boy.
Anyway, so they all have their roles, and they're really good. But lately, they've been feuding with Evolution,
which is that.
That was Triple H's old stable. That was like Ric Flair, Randy Orton, and Batista, which is like the past, present, and future. It was Evolution. Back then, Randy Orton and Batista were like new.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So they came back with Randy Orton and Batista without Ric Flair. Because fuck Ric Flair, in my opinion.
Woo!
Yeah, and they've been feuding, and the Shield has all been together, and they had like this whole thing where, like, we thought that the Shield was going to break up, and then they came back stronger than ever at WrestleMania, and then they started feuding with Evolution, having these fucking ridiculously good matches on these pay-per-views, like where they're like sprawling out of the ring, and everybody's just like fucking going crazy. And the pacing and the timing of the matches is perfect.
Fucking Seth Rollins is jumping off like the light display below the Titantron. Yeah.
Not, yeah, this was Sunday.
This was yesterday. This was last night.
Okay,
yeah.
And just like these well-paced, timed matches that were just awesome. And then we all thought that the Shield was going to be stronger than ever tonight. And then all of a sudden,
oh my God.
Seth Rollins
takes a chair to Roman Reigns.
He takes a chair to Roman Reigns and fucking betrays the Shield, and then beats the fuck out of Dean Ambrose with that chair. Like, that chair was bent. Dude.
Oh my God, dude! He really they went for it.
It's so operatic, dude. It's so betrayal,
yeah,
revenge,
man.
Things like this. And it's beautiful.
And you know that, like, and it gets you excited for the next show, because I know on SmackDown we're gonna see the fucking fallout from that, because that was a huge fucking moment.
Yeah,
dude.
Those are gonna be some good promos.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be an awesome rivalry at the beginning of Money in the Bank. Like we said earlier, that shot. Where
the very last shot of Raw this week
with Triple H with his arm around Seth Rollins and Randy Orton standing there, and Seth Rollins just got that look on his face, and they're both down on the mat. That shot's going to be played at the beginning of every package for the next 2 weeks or 4 weeks until Money in the Bank.
I guess I'm watching Raw with you guys next week.
Yep.
Yeah, dude.
That's happening.
It is fucking awesome. So that's what's happening in wrestling. For you non-wrestling fans, maybe get into it and you'll like that segment a little more.
Just try it.
Try it out. Try it doesn't, it. You know, it's not like math. You can do it once. It's fine. Oh, okay. Never mind. No, that was dumb.
I am drinking Lewis and Clark Brewing Company Tumbleweed IPA. It is.
How's that treating you?
It is pretty goddamn good, dude. Brock, I like it a lot.
Brock, you're drinking the same thing. How's it treating you?
Indeed, I am. I actually quite enjoy it. Yeah, it's taken me a while to get into IPAs, but
I'm still not there.
Yeah, they're not my favorite.
I'm a little baby.
Yeah, it's fine, dude. They're still not my favorite. Like, honestly, I rarely have them, but the sort of mellower they are, the better for me, and I think that this one's pretty mellow.
It's good medium IPA, I think, but it's still pretty strong. Like, you don't want to drink too many of these.
No, so. You definitely don't. You never do.
But
responsibly.
And don't drink if you're underage. That's why I never drink.
Because Connor's 12.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and a half.
But. What's that in dog years?
Yeah. Like, well,
that's like a lot.
5 years.
It's like 84 or something. Yeah. I think it is 84. God damn, multiplication.
Damn,
tables.
You are. Wait, was it times 7?
Yeah.
12 times 7?
Yeah.
Damn. Wow, 84.
Yeah.
You're an old dog.
You're an old ass.
I'm an old motherfucker. I'm going to die tonight.
Dude, that's okay, though, because I would be like 154 or something like that.
Gross. Anyway, Tumbleweed IPA. It's black.
How
can
old would you be, Eric?
On it. I don't want to do the math.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even know if that math is correct. Someone might want to double check me, because I am god awful at math.
You guys want to hear a Zoltar story?
Tell me a Zoltar story.
Or I shouldn't say a Zoltar story.
Daddy. Dad.
Papa.
Dad.
Papa.
Yeah.
Story.
Will you tell me and Blocky a story?
This...
Please, Daddy.
That was a dynamite Louis Kid impression. I'm pretty good at that.
That was really good.
Oh, yeah. I like...
Will you do it again?
Please, Daddy. Please. Daddy, I'm bored.
Dude, that's like spot on. Did she have your voice?
Did you work on Louis? Did you do ADR on Louis?
Yes. Royalties should be sent to me.
We Brock can't Brett. Get the kid today. Bring Brock in.
Daddy. All
right. So I guess let's just set it up. Eric's going to read us a little entry from a journal that he kept during the little stretch that he had a pet dragon named Zoltar that he loved very much, that I've come to love through stories.
Mm-hmm. Brock, did I ever tell you about Zoltar?
I don't believe you did.
No, yeah. Zoltar, like Connor said, she was my pet dragon. I say was with a heavy heart, but we'll get to that in future episodes.
Okay.
I read some previous entries. In the last episodes, I believe Zoltar ate some pet dogs.
She did eat, I believe it was two. I think the count was two.
Three, if I'm not mistaken.
Three. Maybe I should reread it.
Yeah, well, maybe. I mean, you don't, because it happened and I remember it like three. So, anyway.
So I can't reread it then?
And we no, you can't, but you can listen to it later if you want.
Fine.
And we learned the story of how I came to Zoltar. I will now read entry number three. It is dated August 27th, 2007. I have been having a blast now that Zoltar can breathe fire. The other day, she brought a dead chicken to my door.
Wow, that's so sweet.
I know, she thought she was giving me a little present. Yeah.
It's just precious.
Yeah. Based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Yes, of course.
Starring
Gabri
Sidibe.
Yeah,
Sidibe, you were so close.
I always guess on those syllables.
Gabby Sidibe.
At first, I scolded her, but then she starts picking off the feathers with her little talons.
Oh,
yeah, crazy, right? She peels off a scale from her tail and grinds it up.
That's fucked up.
I know. I thought it was really fucking weird. That's at first.
Super. It's gnarly.
Yeah, she told me later it's called dragon spice. I don't know. She starts rubbing the chicken with the ground up scale. The chicken begins to glow. That was the fucking weird. I was like, Zoltar, am I eating some radioactive shit?
That's like, you should go to a doctor. Have you been to a doctor recently?
Not in,
you should go to a doctor.
Not since 2007, actually.
You should go to a doctor today.
Yeah, I'm probably going to die soon.
That's, probably giving us all
that's
radiation.
You and me both, my man.
Yeah, I think I have everything.
Oh, there was a breath right in the mic.
I caused that, everybody. She puts it on a stick and tells me to hold it high above my head.
It's ritualistic.
Yeah. I'm a little freaked, but I've come this far, so I may as well oblige. I hold the chicken up, and she flies around it, blowing fire on it for like 5 minutes. Yeah, 5 minutes.
Dragon like fire is 5 minutes.
Is that like a really long time to... for a dragon to blow fire? What's the average fire
time?
Dude,
like 5 minutes? Are you shitting me?
Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous. Okay.
That's like a long...
Okay, fine. It's not... Fair, it's to weird. Fine.
that's like a commercial break on TV.
Yo, that's like true. Two commercial
that's
breaks.
That's like two... Yeah, that's like two commercial
it's
breaks.
It's a two and two.
That's like a... That's... I mean... That's a long time.
I'm burping a lot because I just ate...
Okay.
But to be fair, a young dragon can breathe fire for extended periods of time. It's when they're older, they have their lung capacity diminishes as they get older, actually.
Yeah, you get some soot in the chimney.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Essentially. she lands on the ground and takes the chicken from me and tells me to get plates. Well, I grab some plates and we start to eat this chicken. I have to say it's the best chicken I've ever had. I ask her what she did to make it taste so good, and she says, ancient dragon secret.
Oh, it's dragon spice.
It's dragon spice.
Oh, shit.
I laugh at the... What did...
Sound it out.
I had really bad handwriting back then. I laugh at the mad pop culture reference skills of my dragon, and after dinner, she blows fire for me to roast some marshmallows. Like I said, I was having a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds just like a blast.
God. Yeah. Blaster, my dragon was that nice.
Yeah, dude. You had a dragon?
Oh, wow.
Well, if you did, right?
Right, yeah. If I did.
If I had a dragon, I would hope that it would be
I was going to say, dude, it's really hard to find him. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
But anyway, some guy walks by, so I tell Zolti to nix the fire, the fire breathing. He passes by, but then he stops. He looks at me, then to Zoltar, then to me again. He holds up a cigarette and says, "Got a light?"
I like say, "You can't breathe fire." Fuck out of here, Zoltar. What are you doing?
I say, "Boy, do I," and grab Zoltar and hold her up, circle of lifestyle, and she just throws flames at this guy.
Awesome.
He starts on fire and runs down the street trying to extinguish himself. I look at Zoltar, and she gives me a Steve Urkel, "Did I do that?"
You did, Zoltar. You know you did type that. Type of look.
Just like Steve Urkel, you know you did that.
You damn man.
You freaking asshole.
I give her
an... Preach.
I'm going to say Urkel's an asshole.
Yeah, Urkel's a fucking sure, dick. Dude.
He causes...
Stefan,
I would just never yourself, let that Steven. Piece of shit into my house. If I even saw him on the front yard.
He's stalking... If I'm Papa Winslow... He's stalking my daughter.
Yeah. I'm calling the authorities immediately.
No, I'm a cop. Papa Winslow is a cop. I am the authorities. I'm taking Urkel the fuck out.
Good God. That story has some serious flaws to it.
Yeah. What the fuck is Winslow doing as a parent?
He's failing miserably is what he's doing.
Yeah, definitely. Zoltar?
Anyway. Steve Urkel. She gives me a Steve Urkel, "Did I do that?" look, and I give her an "Oh, Zoltar" look. And then everything went black except a circle around Zoltar and I, freeze framed in those looks. Then the circle closed up on us.
No.
The end.
Oh, that's seriously adorable. Yeah, wow. Great.
You had a really awesome life, man. What the fuck happened?
Yeah, I'll read another Zoltar entry at the end of the show.
Okay.
Hey.
Hey.
What's you up? Wanna what music you listening to?
What music y'all listening to?
What music y'all listening to?
Music
y'all listening to? Music.
You wanna go ahead and start, Brock?
Sure. Did you want me to
guest
play
first?
Something?
Just why don't you say that we'll play something and then I'll put
and
it
then
in.
And then you'll play it.
Because I don't have it set up to play from your phone.
Okay, cool. So I suppose honestly, what I've been listening to the most still for about 2 or 3 weeks is Bubblegum, Kevin Devine, and
the goddamn band.
And it's just an incredible album. And it's honestly it's turned me on to more Kevin Devine. Like I've listened to him, you know, and stuff, and you guys, I know, I think I've listened to him a lot. But honestly, up until Bubblegum, I don't know
a lot.
Oh well, I actually, his album Between the Concrete and Clouds is the first album I listened to of his all the way through.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh my God. You haven't heard Split the Country, Split the Street?
Actually haven't listened to that yet.
Oh
that
my God. My favorite I'm so excited for you.
Okay, cool. I just got done like exploring, is it Bag of Bones or?
Another Bag of Bones. It's
Brother's
Bag of
Blood.
Brother's Blood is the album. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I just got done kind of going through that, and that was incredible.
Really, that album is really
it's
amazing.
Like,
really
awesome. Yeah. Oh man, I think some of his songs are so like Bob Dylan-esque in a way. They're just these long.
He writes like beautiful lyrics.
Yeah. Beautiful, poetic.
Like Bubblegum, you don't get the sense of it when you're first listening to it, but if you read the lyrics with Bubblegum as you're listening to it, fucking beautiful.
Oh,
the lyrics are amazing.
I know. Bubblegum's incredible, that song. And still kind of my like favorite I go through cycles obviously, but like right now my favorite is still I Don't Care About Your Band.
Yep. Yeah. That one's really good.
Oh, it's just so cool. It's such an awesome closer to that album too, and it's so far from what the beginning of the album was, and the lyrics in that song are just insane again. And
I would say my favorite on that album is Redbird.
That is mine right now too,
because it's Redbird's just the way it's composed, and the lyrics are there, the sounds that they got, like he had like such a clear idea of probably what he wanted for that sound. And it's just so spacey and so creepy at points. But then, like, when it breaks down, it's so triumphant.
Oh,
it's
dude. When it comes back in, when it's just nothing but guitar and him just singing. And seeing singing, him and then
play that live was amazing, too.
Dude, I don't know if he played Redbird for us.
Really?
He might have, but honestly, I have no idea. Yo. It was like...
Yeah, he closed with it for us.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was fucking awesome. It was
so fucking cool.
He played Cotton Crush, too. And
Maybe he did play Redbird because he played Cotton Crush and he played... They also played the first three tracks right off the
Nobel Prize.
Yep.
Fucking Fiscal
Private First Class.
Private First Class is also another one of my favorites.
Private First Class is like.
He changed the lyrics at the show, too.
Yeah, really? He said Chelsea Manning instead of Chelsea Private Manning.
Oh, yeah. In the song, at one point, he refers to her as she.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's awesome. No, I think it's such a fucking great song. And yeah, definitely one of my favorites on that album for sure. But I think that album is definitely. It's just so infectious, and like listening to a bunch of other Kevin Devine stuff, like I think it is kind of different. I think
it's way different for Kevin.
Yeah, I think you know he gets pretty hard at times. Like in Brother's Blood, he's pretty heavy.
Yeah,
and
that
pretty
song in general, Brother's Blood. Yeah, seems Brother's very Blood much is like, intense. That new album, but I think a big part of it is
and because, Cotton Crush is pretty heavy.
Yeah,
even.
That one.
Yeah, yeah, totally. But this album as a whole is just kind of like. On another level of that energy.
And I think part of it's because Jesse Lacey produced it.
Yeah.
Totally, like
it's really, really Jesse Lacey.
It's very... It very is, yeah. There's like points in those songs where I can
Redbird
hear
Redbird specifically.
Like Redbird specifically. And then
the intro to,
the
she,
intro
can
to she Can See Me. Exactly.
And Capybara.
Yep, and there's like parts of...
Capybara, that sort of instrumental...
Instrumental, yeah.
Interlude is so brand new.
They like use... It's very brand new, but specifically like Daisy, like you can hear like the later Jesse Lacey influence
Totally. Yeah.
Because their sound changes from album to album,
I think
too.
That was such a dope collaboration.
Oh, for sure, dude. They do great things together.
Yeah, it's just... Oh, man. Yeah, and it's... That album is just awesome, and the other one that I like, but honestly still Bubblegum has sort of remained top on in my opinion, but is with Bulldozer. Like I still
Bulldozer is like if you have this is the perfect way to listen to Bulldozer. Minus one step. You get up, it's like a Sunday morning that you don't have work, you don't have anything to do, like your house is clean, your laundry's done, you don't have anything you have to do. It's like 9:30 in the morning, like late morning, right? You enjoy your morning.
Drink a cup of coffee.
Drink a cup of coffee. An extra strong cup of coffee.
Oh, sounds so good right now.
And then you just like sit down on your couch. You put on the Bulldozer record, the vinyl record. And you just like sit back and listen to it because it's fucking beautiful.
Yeah. It is. It's such a chiller album. Yeah. So it's like maybe... At times, too, I think, like, his most poppy.
There's some really very popular melodies in there. And that album is just, I think, just a completely different field from, like, what the...
It's so crazy that he recorded those, like, in quick succession.
Yeah.
And, like, wrote them at the same time.
Do you know
time.
If he... Did he do one and then move on to the next, or was he jumping back to
Bubblegum first, right?
Yeah, he... So he wrote a lot of them... Like just at the beginning, like right. all at the same time, and then they recorded Bubblegum, and then he took like 3 days off, and then they did Bulldozer.
Wow,
yeah,
dude, have you seen his Kickstarter video?
Yeah, I donated to it.
Oh, really, dude? Yeah. I wish I would have honestly been a bigger fan because I would have totally because like just getting to like know him through his music and just like seeing interviews with him and then meeting him
yeah.
was just
he's the fucking sweetest
like,
dude.
Like I hugged the man like. He gave me a hug and it was like, I don't know. It was just, he was just so humble. He was just, you know, he was just so gracious that people cared so much about his music. And that's the kind of like reaction you want to get from somebody that you idolize like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's really nice. And,
I think Michael asked him for advice when we met him.
Yeah.
He gave him some actual good advice.
Do you know what he said to him?
I can't remember.
He said a couple different things. He said, listen to people that you think are way better than
you. Yeah. Try to emulate people that you like.
And then just like write and play a lot.
That's cool. Yeah. It's pretty, you know, it's always like the best of the best always give the most kind of simplest advice. And that is always kind of reassuring too. Cause you're just sort of like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you like
keep it simple and keep your passion.
It's like simple things that you can just be like, yeah, okay, I'm at least going in the right direction.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, what are you guys listening to?
Air Bear?
I will go first. Lately, I've been listening to Trainwreck by Boys Night Out.
Yeah, by Boy Night Out.
Boy Night Out. Boy Night. Yeah, it's a concept album. Boys Night Out is a emo post-hardcore band from someplace. I don't know where, but that album came out in
Chicago,
2000.
Chicago, I think. Chicago? Home,
somewhere around there. That album came out in 2005, but it's a concept album about a guy who has these dreams about killing his wife, and then he wakes up and he's actually killed his wife, and he thinks he's going insane and everything. And so he like gets he like turns himself in and goes through like a mental evaluation, and then eventually just goes insane. But that album is full of, like, if you're into emo post-hardcore, which I am.
And, like, Coheed.
Coheed. Oh, yeah? Just, like, anything cool with a story.
Like, I super tight, progressive.
Progressive, like.
Story.
Story stuff. Like, because I love the narrator is, like, the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his doctor is, like, the it's narrator. Like, for
it's
some
like
of the
his tape-recorded notes. Yeah. Oh, okay. Is the narration.
Cool. And, just, like, the melodies in that album are super good. Along with it, there's a little too much screaming for me. I think it's a little, just a like a touch too screaming.
I can see that.
I don't like dislike it though. That's the thing. It. Yeah, I like. It
I
a
had
lot.
A big screamo phase.
Yeah.
See, I never had that phase. I enjoy screaming in
context.
In certain contexts. Yeah. Like when Coheed screams, there's certain like story implications, and there is in this album too. I'm sure. But it's very intense, very fucking balls to the wall in a lot of the songs. But their guitar work, I'm really impressed
with. Their drum work is super tight.
A lot of like really good like double bass, like just like crazy like bell stuff too. I don't know.
Cymbal chokes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, you should definitely check it out if you haven't.
I never have. Boys Night Out is the
Night Out is the artist.
Trainwreck is the record.
Yep. Cool. Yeah, I feel like you guys are on such a different, because I mean you guys live together and you listen to a lot of the same music. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this segment's probably gonna be like a lot of me like, okay, I'm gonna write that down for later. But yeah,
we talked a lot about Kevin Navarro, so that's good.
Yeah, gotta love KD. God bless. I don't know.
What were you kissing?
I don't know.
Where were you kissing?
I think what I actually wanted
to
do was like
show me where you were kissing.
That's what I want to do is like this. It's just like just imagine just I'm out. Kissing or a cross. Like,
sure.
That's like a shout out.
It's like my religious like KD. Oh, Dios mio. Okay.
Or you could also just do like the French like mwah.
Yeah. Kiss the butthole.
Kiss the butthole and it explodes.
Yeah. Explode that butthole with your lips.
Louis C.K.
Yeah, that's Louis C.K.
the other god in my life.
It's a really good record. You guys should check it out. What have you been listening to, Connor?
I pretty much only listen to emo music now.
Yeah, we've had a big emo revival going on.
Yeah. So the record that I chose to talk about this week specifically is my favorite record of all time. It's by Braid. It came out when I was 4 years old.
I was three. What year was it?
Nope, you would have been five because you're older than me.
Wow.
Not a good look, Eric.
No.
Wait, this Braid is that old, huh?
Yeah, dude.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, super old, man. Yeah.
This is their first full-length record in 16 years, the one that's coming out in July.
What year was it?
God,
it was
97, 98. Freaking out now? Freaking out right now?
Dude, I'm freaking out.
We're seeing them on the day that it's released.
Yeah, we're seeing
No
them.
Coast,
it's
July
8th. July 8th, and we're seeing them on July 8th.
Wait, is this the...
At Common Ground.
Common Ground in Michigan.
Where we'll be seeing Brand New, Say Anything, The Front Bottoms, You Blew It.
Kevin Devine again.
Brand New again. Did I say Brand New already? We're
Maybe.
Seeing Brand New.
This is July 8th.
The Hold Steady. We got Hold Sea Steady. Haven. We got Dinosaur Pile Up. We got You Blew It.
Circus Survive.
How much are tickets again?
$40.
Are you shitting?
No.
Early entry.
How many days do you have to stay?
This is all in one day.
It's one day?
It's like a 7-day festival that's a different genre each day.
And it's where again? Sorry.
Michigan.
Lansing, Michigan.
Lansing, Michigan. How far a drive is that?
Pretty far.
Really?
Like it's going to suck real bad.
To Seattle.
Yeah. It's like to Seattle and back.
Like 18 hours?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Like
20 hours?
Like a healthy drive.
Yeah. Oof. Well, it'll be worth it. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. I'm knocking out a bunch of fucking shit off my bucket list, right?
Just need Punchline.
Yeah. Just
play
need
more
punchline.
Shows, Punchline.
Please.
Steve, I'm talking to you because you'll listen to me. Play more shows with Punchline.
And maybe, like, have Chariot open for you at one point.
Hey, that would be cool. Hey,
there's an idea.
I'm just throwing it out there.
It's out there. Take it. Leave it.
Hey, it exists in the universe. We can't take it back.
Yep. Nope. It's on the blogosphere.
Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? The blogosphere?
I think that's what they're calling it now.
It's actually called shootingtheshitshow.blogspot.com.
Oh, my God. Oh. You are the fucking plug machine.
Yeah, you just keep plugging and chugging.
Hey, anyway. What's the name of our network?
It's the Not Safe for Network.
Since we're plugging stuff.
Woohoo.
Yes, the Not Safe for Network.
I'm just kidding.
Tell me a little bit about the Not Safe for Network. Let's talk about the album first.
We'll do that at the end of the show.
We'll tell you a little bit.
Don't mean to hijack it. Sorry.
Don't take the reins here, Brock, okay?
Sorry, I forgot.
You're the guest.
No.
You don't come in my house.
I've already burnt this bridge.
I'd like you to leave. That was him putting his headphones on the mic.
I'm back, bitches. I'm back. I can't leave you guys.
The fact that he didn't actually put his headphones off, he just scratched the microphones with his nails.
He couldn't be bothered to take off his headphones.
No, I'm too theatrical for that.
It's theater of the mind.
Mm, yes.
Imagination.
Radio. RKO.
Oh, God. So, Frame and Canvas.
Frame and Canvas, my God. I mean, the obvious first remark is the opening drum beat to New Nathan Detroit. It's the first drum beat I ever learned.
Can I do an impression of it?
Do it. That was really bad. Super bad.
It's like that.
Let me play it a little bit for Brock.
Oh, yeah.
So he's familiar with it.
I would love to hear it.
There's like a little bit of an intro here if you want to kill some time for me.
Yeah, sure. But,
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's tight.
Dude, that's a fucking hell of a way to start a record.
Oh, that's ballsy,
dude. I'm just going to have this playing in the background while we're...
That's
see
cool.
if the mic picks it up at all.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely does.
Does it?
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, this drum beat is killer. The drums, just in general, Damon Atkinson is probably the best drummer in this genre that I can think of. He's just, like, so... Like, he doesn't do anything super crazy, but he's just, like, such fucking tight grooves.
Nice.
And, like, perfect fills. And no one uses the bell of a ride cymbal better than Damon.
That's so true.
I noticed you totally incorporate that a lot.
Yeah, I totally am trying to be him. I'm like trying to be a mix of him and the dude from Great Big Pile of Leaves.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, the more I like discover more Braid, the more I'm just like, Connor, you steal a lot of their stuff. But it's funny because, I mean, we all kind of do.
It's, yeah, it's kind of how
it's
you...
It's how influence grows.
Yeah, totally. Rip off from the greats.
Yeah. I've definitely been getting into this album quite a bit lately. I think my favorite song right now is Urbana's Too Dark.
Mm-hmm.
The really
weird, like, the snare's off in the intro to that song. Yeah. So it just sounds like a really high tom, and then there's, like, weird rack tom stuff going on.
Yeah, and I really like the... their guitars in this album, if you listen to it through headphones, they're panned...
Like,
so
they're hard panned, so like one of them is just in each ear and they're hardly in the center at all, so if you listen to it in headphones you can pick it apart really well, and they're just like so intricate and like interlocking.
Yeah, it's like Bob Nana and who's the guitar player?
Chris Broach,
they just like are a fusion together, like they're both playing like disjointed parts but they make the perfect like fucking just like perfect sounds together, and especially in that song the guitar work is really well, like,
yeah,
really good, like really good use of like octaves and stuff. But yeah, I've been listening to a lot of my influence actually nowadays, like with my songwriting, has come a lot from them and like the harmonies that I'm writing and stuff.
Harmonies for sure.
I'm thinking of like the very, you remember the very first song I wrote, the Enter the Bummer.
Enter the Bummer.
Yeah. That song is very, like, that progression's very Brady, I feel like. Or, like, Hey Mercedes.
Yeah.
Which is what Braid became later on, but most of Braid became later on. Yeah. They're really good, too. You should check them out.
Hey Mercedes.
Hey Mercedes, yeah.
So, if Braid... So, how old would those guys be then, now? Fucking like old.
Late 30s. Early 40s,
probably. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of them's a school teacher, right? Bass player is a school teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so cool, man. I hope whatever happens in life, I would be more happy with being sort of an independent artist like that, you know, somewhere like that. Just, and then, like, I don't know, man. You still have this, like, following of people, but you don't have all the shitty baggage that comes along with being super fucking famous.
Yeah, dude, that's like my main thing. I just want to like be to a certain degree of like have a certain degree of success doing what I like doing, which is playing music.
Yeah.
And like just be happy.
Getting the opportunity to release an album and just get together with your friends. That's all I feel like. Manchester and Kevin Devine, like those guys aren't super fucking famous.
No, but they still like make a living doing what they do, and they tour and they go to different cities and they live life, you know, and that's what I want to do. And we were talking about this on the last show. You make your own happiness. You make your own heaven here, so.
Oh, yeah. We got super fucking heavy last week.
Really?
That was weird.
Life's a garden. Dig it.
No. That's... Joe Dirt has some great fucking...
Oh, wow. What a masterpiece.
But, yeah. For sure.
Anyway. Wow. Kind of went off the rails there for a moment.
That segment, the What Are You Listening To segment.
What? Are you listening to?
What are you listening to?
Wow.
Wow, that was beautiful.
What are we looking at?
We're rocking a cool 51 minutes.
51 minutes. You want to hear my impression of JBL?
Hit me
saying
with your...
51 minutes?
Yeah.
51 minutes! Was really bad.
That was
I could do
bad.
Better. Can I give it another try?
Definitely.
Well, 51 minutes.
Not great, but okay.
Not good. It's a little bit better though. I'll work on it for next week. You guys want to hear another Zoltar story?
Yeah.
Please. I'd
love to. Zoltar entry. Before I do that, let's just talk about the week we had. I saw my cat this past week. Here's a little backstory for you. I have a cat, but the place I'm living at now, Cherry House, which we are recording live from the basement of Cherry House, doesn't allow cats. So when I moved in here, I had to give my cat to Connor's mom. That's the sound of Connor's chin rubbing against the microphone. That's Brock.
Fuller.
That was me.
That's nice.
Fuller.
If I did my neck, it'd be fucking raucous in this joint.
You got some stubble there, Connor.
Enough of that. So yeah, I had to give up my cat, and I felt really sad about it. But we won't talk about the sadness. I got to see her again, and she's looking good, man.
She's fit.
She was lost a really? Fat. She was
lost,
a fat
lost some
cat.
Weight.
Lost some kitty weight.
Aww. She lost some kitty. She's hanging out with Hunter.
Yeah,
which
the
is
fucking giant beast,
dude. Okay.
Sweetheart.
His
that my
cat.
Mom has.
Oh, his cat really? Is ridiculous big.
Really?
Like a small coffee table.
Holy.
Yeah, like this his tail is powerful as fuck. Like it's just thick. And, like, he's, like, a long-haired cat, so he looks even bigger, and it's just ridiculous seeing him compared to Ophelia.
And he lays on his back. That's how he lays to, like, relax.
Really?
Like, on his back.
Aww.
Just, like, flat.
Yeah.
I never got to see that.
What a cutie.
No, but I walked in. Ophelia remembered me, like, it was yesterday. She started meowing as soon as she saw me. Started doing the cheeks thing. She likes to rub her cheeks up against things.
Aww.
So she goes straight for cheeks every time.
Miss
yeah.
Ophelia.
Yeah.
Miss seeing her around.
Me too. Dude, okay, so we've been watching My Cat from Hell. And
taking some lessons from Jackson Galaxy.
Yeah. And my parents' cat hates my brother. like, fucking hates my brother with a passion. Every time my brother goes home, she hisses. She, like, runs away. She's fucking terrified slash angry slash wants to kill my brother. Like, if she was a human, she would commit murder against my brother. Because I look so much like him, every time I go home, she hates me too. I picked this cat out. I brought this cat home. I gave this cat a name. And I am the whole reason this cat is existing at my house right now in Boulder. And she hates my guts and wants to kill me.
That's some bullshit.
But
that's what it, like, raising a child is going to be like, though. You got to get used to that.
That's why I'm not going to have a child.
Okay, well, that's also a good solution.
That's
to that.
Why I'm going to abandon children.
I'm going through the whole cycle that's of parenthood demented. With this cat right now. Are you telling me that?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's a 18-year-old. Just ugh.
Just like, get out of here, Dad. I don't want you.
I can't wait till college starts. And then she becomes a stripper.
Dude, I can't wait to move out of my house. My parents are so lame. Anyway, she fucking hates me. So I've been watching a lot of My Cat from Hell. I decide I'm going to Jackson Galaxy this fucking cat. First of all, I start with, like, trust. Mm-hmm. I get down on her level.
You got to get down on her
level. I start playing with her. I, like, do this little game. She has this little tunnel. I, like, put my head in the tunnel, and she, like, chases after me trying to attack my face.
Because she hates you?
Because she hates me. And we play a little game. She doesn't have claws, so it doesn't hurt when she swipes at me.
It's just like getting hit with like
it hurts a little bit that she's swiping at me, but not in physical pain.
That act itself is just emotionally
scarring. It's like I knew you when you were a baby cat. Anyway, so we're like chilling. I get down on her level. I present her my sunglasses because they have the most scent behind the ears. Mm-hmm. I get her acquainted with my smell. She's chewing on the sunglasses. I think it's a good sign. I close my eyes, slowly open them to show trust. I trust her, so I have my eyes closed. She's not hissing anymore.
Oh, awesome. Wow.
Shit works.
Shit
cat
works.
Cat whisperer over here.
Right? So
you can
I'm like
too.
Playing it cool. I get it to the point.
Teach me.
I keep doing this, and I get it to the point where I can actually pet her. Like, I'm petting the cat, mm-hmm. and she's not like trying to kill me. She even looks like she's kind of enjoying it. Like, she's enjoying my company. Then she starts hissing. But it's okay. I learned that you can't overstimulate a cat.
It's true.
You put too much into the cat, you'll get too much out.
You gotta have your moment.
Mm-hmm. You gotta have your moment, and when your moment's done, you realize that, and you walk away. I walked away.
You gotta know when to hold them.
Know when to fold them.
You gotta know when to walk away.
Yep. Just like that old gypsy woman said. I don't know.
What's that old gypsy woman's name? Was it Kenny Loggins?
Yeah,
that sounds right.
I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. I mean, I have the internet, but I'm still talking about my cat, my parents' cat. Anyway, I got it to the point where this cat was actually trusting me. I was petting the cat. I tried to pick the cat up, scratched the fuck out of my arm. Not going to fuck with that cat anymore.
No.
But if I could, I would bring back my other pet, Zoltar.
Zoltar.
Oh.
I'm going to read you guys another journal entry. Entry number 4. It's dated September 1st, 2013. Not 2013, I'm sorry. 2007.
It's a typo from the past. Dumb Eric.
That was when you were also like on the side writing science fiction about time machines, huh?
Yeah. Time machines fucking
6 years in the future.
6 years in the future.
That's 7. From 2007 to 2013 is 7 years in the future.
Six.
That's six, bro. I'm not.
What are numbers, guys?
What are they? I'm not sure.
No, that's 8 years, man. That's 8 years.
That's 14 years.
Yeah, that's 72 years.
That's 72? Okay, wow.
Guys, it's 200 years. Let's drop it. It's September 1st, 2007. So I took Zoltar to the dentist today. It was hard to find. Yeah, well, it was hard to find someone to do dental work on a dragon, but obviously. I did it. His name is
you
Bert.
Did the dental work?
No. It's hard to find someone to do the dental work, but
I
did
you
that.
Succeeded beyond that.
I succeeded in finding somebody.
Okay. Well, don't be too proud of yourself. Okay.
His name is Bernie.
Okay.
He lost his license to practice, but he said he would come to my house and do the work for free. Great deal, right?
Like thrifty, but also a little bit sketchy.
Yeah, a little bit. But I was, well, how old was I in 2007? 14? I don't know.
We have already established I can't do math, so don't ask me.
Well, he calls me up and says, hey, I can't come to your house, but if you bring a sandwich to the alley behind the bar, I can do the work. A little more sketchy, but I needed to get it done. So I bring Zoltar over to the alley. Now, her teeth have been pretty sensitive lately. She was just learning to breathe fire, and I think it was making them, like, touchy. Hurting her little teeth. Yeah.
I mean, even dragons get toothaches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially young ones, I mean.
I'm pretty sure I heard a country song about that once.
Yeah, that exists.
It was Kenny Loggins.
Yeah, it was Kenny Loggins.
Even dragons get toothaches.
Even dragon
featuring zombie.
Yeah, that was supposed to be a dragon growl. Like, what the hell are you doing him?
So the doc gives her, sorry, so the doc goes to poke her tooth, and before I could blink, she's eaten this dentist whole.
That's wait, dude, you gotta keep that shit in check.
Dude, I know, she keeps eating shit.
You can't, it's humans now. Yeah, like, it's okay. Gotten serious.
Yeah, but like humans who practice dental work in back alleys behind bars.
Okay. It's true, so it's not like Dexter? The most like...
cool it.
At least she's not killing like upstanding citizens or anything like that. I mean, yeah, she's not killing like the valedictorian just, like, the of a high school dentist. Or something.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, it's... yeah. I panic. We run out of there to find most of the town has seen what Zoltar has done.
That's not a good look.
Yeah, we're in hot water for sure.
Yeah, small town, you don't even want like one pair of eyes on that.
Mm. No.
No. Shit spreads sir. Like
wildfire.
So
wildfire.
So they were going bananas. They start chasing us, yelling, whoa, whoa, here she comes. Watch out, boy, she'll chew you up. Whoa, whoa, here she comes. She's a man.
I like that the mom has a sense of humor.
Yeah, for sure. All of a sudden, we're at a dead end.
We're at a dead end?
Yeah, we like okay. Run into a dead end.
Okay.
We've come to a river.
Are they still singing Hall & Oates?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were just chanting it. It was like a chant that they had.
Whoa, here she comes.
They were like singing it, though. They were like singing the melody. It was just they were chanting it. Like, that was their mob chant. Like, it was on their credo. Their mob.
That's like a really long
their mob chant. Their mob coat of arms. We come to a river that's too high to cross, and I look at Zoltar, and she is making eye contact with me. All of a sudden, I can hear the most beautiful female voice in my head. It says, Eric, jump on my back. I don't have time to question.
Yo. Damn, where's the story going?
No, it's yo, nothing like that.
Zoltar's got some Zoltar's like got, telepathic yeah, abilities.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, dog, I missed that.
No. I was looking into Zoltar's eyes, and I hear this voice. I don't have time to question it, but I'm God damn, I had worse handwriting when I was 14.
Handwriting?
I had the worst handwriting when I was
That sounds like some really awful like pre-depression disease that like you can't even get anymore.
Oh yeah, John's got a case of handwriting.
Oh, poor bastard. How's his family?
How do you think they are? I haven't seen Timmy in like 3 weeks. He's been just like home with a case of the handwriting. He's really taking it hard.
Oh, he's really taking it hard.
He's really taking it hard right. I don't have time to question it, but I am coming to the realization that I can communicate with Zoltar telekinetically.
Pathically.
Yeah.
Telekinetic is moving stuff.
Unless you're removing your thoughts into his.
Nope.
No.
It's I'm not arguing because past Eric didn't even spell telekinetically. He just spelled tele and then kind of scribbled and then
some shit.
It's like, I'll figure it out.
He's like, one day it's like, I'll remember what this word is.
I hop on her back and she flaps her wings as hard as she can. We're crossing the river, leaving behind the angry mob. We get to the other side and Zoltar is exhausted. I told her I didn't know she could fly or speak with her mind. She says she has always been able to fly. Apparently, dragons are all born with the ability to fly. She just can't do it well because of her wing deformity. If you remember from last week, she has one.
She has Nemo wing.
Yeah, she has one really small wing and one normal sized wing.
Oh, Nemo wing. I like it.
Yeah, and she has to flap her small wing twice as hard as the big one. So, like, wing, like the right wing is moving double time, left wing is just like moving normal. 4-4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right wing's in cut time.
That mic sounds ornery.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This mic is being such...
ornery.
It keeps slipping. It's like it was like down in my lap, and I'm like hunched over like a...
Yeah, you gotta get your posture right.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm in this freaking drum stool.
Yeah, I don't... I'm gonna take this comfy chair.
I don't blame you, but just... Jeez, man.
Like, hey, I just get this fucking kitchen chair, so...
I honestly was going to bring you a kitchen chair, but then I was like, I don't want to bring that downstairs.
We'll just forget about it.
Thinking about me, man.
Yeah.
This one lives down here now.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'm grabbing that shit next time.
Zoltar makes a fire, and we decide to camp there for the night. That's when she started to tell me the story of her mother. Tune in next week to find out about that.
No!
Oh my god, is it a sad story? Is it a happy story? What kind of story is it?
You'll have to tune in to find out. Next Tuesday on the Not Safer Network. Shall we wrap it up?
I guess we shall. What song are we going to play?
Wrap it up, B.
We should.
What Chariot song should we play? Rock?
Let's let Brock Brocky decide.
Brocky 4.
Oh, what Chariot song?
It's got to be something that we've already recorded. So something off of the Winter EP or the Gumwall EP.
Or the Somebody Else
can we
demo.
Play, can we actually play Bar Lights off of the Gumwall?
We can play Bar Lights, I think.
I haven't heard that in a long time, and I kind of like that song a lot.
Okay.
I love
Shout
I
out
love
Clint.
Shout out Clint.
Clint wrote that song, and he sang it as well.
And it's quite beautiful, I think.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
I'm proud of
it. It's very fun.
It has me doing some real sloppy drumming.
And me doing some real sloppy guitar.
It has an energy to it, though, that's unrivaled.
Unrivaled by whom?
It's a very...
Anyone? It's probably been rivaled by some people.
It's a very Manchester-y song.
G.G. Allin? Probably had some energy similar to that.
G.G. Allin?
Never mind. Look him up.
Okay, I'll check that out, too. And it's on my list of things I don't know.
So, yeah. And you can find that at cherry.bandcamp.com. Listen to the other podcasts on the Not Safe for Network.
We Had a Good Life.
We got
Montucky Skies.
We got Box Office Battle.
We got Real Roulette.
We got, what else?
That's it. We got
Shooting
all.
The Shit Show with Eric and Connor.
Oh, that's this one, though. Blah. So you know about that. And that's it. That's all we got.
Thank you guys for having me on the show today. This was
thank
very
you
fun.
For coming, bro.
Yeah, no, thanks I appreciate it.
Come watch Raw with us again next week.
I will.
Maybe you can chat with us again next week.
Yeah, I would
too.
Love to if you guys would have me.
We will. Because
we might.
Why not?
Yeah, you can't
we'll,
say
we'll
you.
Talk about it.
Yeah, you gotta talk to the producers.
Yeah.
All right, here's
we gotta
bar.
Talk to the guys upstairs.
Here is Bar Lights.
And since he took my place. I hope he does a better job than I could do.